We are recording.
All right. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the call. Let us start in prayer, and I give you my peace. Kind, loving Father, we come before you first, and we say thank you that you allowed us to come into your home this day to bring to you all our cares and concerns, but also our praise and thanks. For all the love that we share, Father, with those around us, that is love that you have given us. And we stand in the commissions that you have given us, and we fulfill them to the best of our ability. This is our last meeting of the year, so we'll close it out with joy and happiness. We appreciate the previous month's Father meetings, where you've opened our hearts and given us a deeper understanding and shared with us things that have brought wonder to our hearts, brought also answers to questions we may have had, and given us a deeper understanding of things that we've known our whole life. There are many concerns that rest in the hearts of our fellow guardians and their family, and we bring them before you and pray for your strength and blessing and your peace. And those who could not make the call, we pray that their hearts are connected with us. Provide your blessing over our leaders. We pray for the future and that which it holds for us. And Father, if there's something we've forgotten, then I know you'll cover it. Eternity is joining us now. They are interested in what we have to say because they are not privy to this information as well. So we thank you for all that you've invited. We welcome them into the meeting as well. Thank you for all you do. We love you dearly. And according to will, we bow. And in your name we pray. Please hear us. Amen. Okay. I met with Father, and this is what he said. Hello, my dear family. It is such a festive time of the year. How beautiful to watch the leaves change color, and then soon winter will be here, perhaps covering your area in a blanket of white. How pure and simple. Over the past year, I have watched many seasons of change within your hearts. I am so very proud of you. As I said a few weeks ago, we will enter the holiday seasons. Please take this time to rest and spend it with your family and friends. You deserve it. I thought I would keep this message light. So, some of you have come to me. Others still need to. Do it. Do it now. I love all of you very much. And that's all Father had to say. And I actually came to him the next day, and I looked at him, and he said, no, that's all I need to say. I said, okay. Does anybody have any questions, comments? Okay. Atmos will present the Episcopal religion to us.
Yeah, it was hard for me to say, too. Fred, it says you need to stop screen sharing so I can share notes real quick. Thank you, sir. Okay. So the Episcopalian faith, what is it? It is another break off, so to speak, like a lot of the other Christian religions that we've been talking about, of the Catholic Church. And it is based around the area of England and Scotland, is where the church formed. Let's see, they have the creeds. The only two creeds that they have are the Apostle and the Nicene creeds. They do have a legacy and inclusion program, and it's kind of interesting because they set a vision for folks that join the church, and it basically gives them, you know, a layout of what they want them to do and how they should kind of go about doing it. We'll see. I'm just going to read it to you. I know it's a little boring, but. Aspiring to tell and exemplify God's love for every human being, women and men serve as bishops, priests, and deacons in our church. Lay people and clergy cooperate as leaders at all levels of our church. Leadership is a gift from God and can be expressed by all people in our church, regardless of sexual identity or orientation. Of course, they have the sacraments of baptism and the Eucharist. I did think it interesting that they said, before we come to take communion together, we should examine our lives, repent of our sins, and be in love and charity with all people. That's something that I saw on their website that I haven't seen on any other websites. So I thought that was rather interesting that they called that out specifically, because nobody else on their websites or their information on their websites anyways said that, hey, we have to repent for our sins and kind of come clean before we go and take communion. They believe in the Eucharist, of course. The visible sign is bread and wine, and then it's received according to Christ's command. The inward spiritual grace is the body and blood of Christ given to his people and received by faith. So I just thought that was interesting because it's different than most. Let's see. The other sacraments are confirmation, reconciliation of a penitent or a private confession, matrimony, marriage. They have the orders of the sacrament are the ordination to the diaconate, priesthood, or episcopacy. I don't really even know if that's even close. I tried to find some more information out about those three things specifically. You know, what are the difference between the three? I think the priesthood, I think we can probably understand, but it's going to take some more research to figure out the other two. If anybody knows, please chime in, because I really don't, and I couldn't figure it out. And then, like the Catholics, of course, the holy unction, the anointing those who are sick or dying with holy oil. It's a little bit different than what the Catholic faith believes, but along the same lines. This was another thing that was interesting. There wasn't a whole lot to their website. It was fairly simple. I think that their services are much like most Christian services in the fact that they follow a liturgy and a eulogy, kind of chanting type stuff almost. But they actually tell their followers how to love. So you can see it says the way to love. Turn, learn, pray, worship, bless, go, rest. So the Episcopal faith believes in coming into the faith, learning about the faith, becoming basically one with yourself and with Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, worshiping them, and then going out and being a blessing to others, and then taking time for yourself again to rest, and then to come back. So it's basically a cyclical thing for them. They had a thing on their website, which I wasn't going to copy into here for copyright issues, but it's a bit, just basically a big circle. Kind of looks like a recycling thing. You start out with learn, go all the way through to rest, and then you start back over again. So Episcopalians use this high-level system as a benchmark for all believers to spread the word of Jesus and keep themselves spiritually and physically balanced. I thought that was actually really cool. And then just a quick brief history. The church dates back around to the turn of the second century in England as travelers would bring the word to the country from other countries. Most likely Roman influence there. You name it. There was a lot of different influences there. Original founding was in the 16th century and remains part of the Anglican Communion, the Church of England, and the Scottish Episcopal Church. With that, does anybody have any questions or comments?
So did this happen around the same time as the Lutheran split off, or was it more soon?
It's close. Yeah, I think Luther was like 1450s, early 1500s, right in there. He had a 30 or 40 year span where he was kind of building the Lutheran faith and breaking off from the Catholic Church. But around that time is when many, many, many churches split from the Catholic Church and kind of became their own thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was definitely a pivotal time, and it had a lot to do with politics, unfortunately.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And now Trisus will present the Bible passage.
Thank you. Originally, I was just going to read the 14th verse here. So it's Matthew 5, 14 through 16. But I had read the 14, 15, and 16 because that's usually used for Bible verses. In fact, One of our teammates here has part of this as his tagline as emails. And Fred had found the full slide, and I read it again. And the reason why I chose the 14th verse is I was reading Matthew, and it just stuck out. You are the light of the world, a city located on a hill cannot be hidden. And I thought, it made me happy, because how special is that? You are the light of the world. Think of those words. It's not saying you're a house, you're a hill, you're a mountain. You are the light. Light is a very unique manifestation, I'll use. When Father created light, it basically covers everything. Whether the other thing doesn't want it or not, think about it. You can't block light unless you completely cover it up. Even if you put your hands around it, obviously don't do that with a light bulb, an old-fashioned light bulb, but even a new light bulb. Try to put your hands around a light or over the cover of your phone, right? If you've ever been in a theater or a dark room, your phone goes off. You're like, oh, and you want to cover that up. Light is unique, and we are unique, and that's what made me happy. But I'm going to read the rest. So you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but instead they put it on a stand. Sorry, I can't see it exactly. My eyes are blurry on top of me, blurry, and gives light to everything in the house. In the same way, let your light shine through. Shine, man, I can't even read that. What's that word between shine and others? Yeah. Before others. There you go. Sorry, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's an interesting version. One, it gives the example of what we're supposed to be. It's supposed to, it's giving us an example of what we're supposed to do. Then it says you're supposed to be the light in the house and also in your neighborhood and be an example. And lastly, in the glory of our Father's name. It gives all aspects of what we're supposed to be. And that's why I wanted Fred to post the full thing. Originally, it made me happy, but then it not only includes the admonition from our Father on what we're supposed to do, but then he finalizes it with, in your Father's name. We do everything in our Father's name. I can't tell you how many times, thank you, Father. Oh, Father, help me with this, Father that. And I don't mean that in a nagging way, but I know personally, since I became a guardian, my attitude towards who he is and Jesus and Holy Spirit has changed. And it's a unique position we are put in because we know who they are. We know that they're more than just some big guy sitting on a cloud, and then his son and the Holy Spirit are ambiguous, and you know, we really don't know what's going on. We know them. We know him. And that's, I want everybody to take away, if this is a lesson, more than just sharing. We end the year being able to shine and then be the example and do everything in Father's name. And that's what I think Father wanted me to bring forth in this, is that we're more than just a guardian. We're so much more. We're all of these aspects. We can be them all at the same time. And it's not hard, because all we have to do is just be ourselves. We are the creature that he created. And if we just be ourselves in all situations, and that's the thing, I thought about it, in all situations, be who he created, then it should be easy for us to be that light. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a deeper understanding. Genesis 6:4. Speaks of the Nephilim were on the earth in those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God went to daughters of humans and had children by them, they were the heroes of old, the men of renown. This account is those angels that were cast out of heaven, the demons as we know it. This is the precursor and one of the reasons why Father decided to destroy mankind. And it actually starts. The next chapter, not too soon after that, is where Father talks to Noah and reads and tells him about trying to destroy, not trying, but his plan is to destroy mankind because they swang so far and were so evil. He allowed Satan's little cohorts to impregnate women in that time. Our church never really talks about it. A lot of people have asked me about this text in the Bible, and I talked to Father about it, and this is the information. So if you want to get a little deeper understanding on it, read Genesis 6, 1 through 8. Does anybody have any questions?
What was that again? Genesis, sorry.
6, yeah. 1 through 8.
Thank you. That's a funky subject.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a not worthless, but interesting tidbit. I'm going to ask everybody that if you're going to present anything in the team meeting, that you would use the New King James Version. And I'll tell you why. Recently, I've been actually reading and listening to different versions of the Bible, and I have come to find that, for instance, the New International Version actually changes or omits the meaning of different verses. And so our church focuses on the New King James Version for a reason, and that's one of the reasons. So I'm going to ask everybody to stay with that version. If you want to go on research on your own to get a better understanding of what it means, then you can look at any Bible you want. I don't care. But if we're going to present it in the meeting, I ask for the New King James Version, please, okay? Any questions?
No, can do. Okay.
All right. I didn't know where to bring up this next subject, so I decided I would just talk to you about it right now. I met with Father yesterday, and he informed me that the Apostle Orlovsky is starting his witch hunt again, and he's trying to find fault in me. Father said that he is going around to ex-teammates and grilling them and getting information, and one of the questions that he asks them is, has Jim hurt anybody? And their answer is no. And Father said that you are no different than Jesus was in his time. He said, did they not go around trying to accuse Jesus of things he didn't do? And then they tried to find fault in him, but they could never find anything wrong with him. And he said, because you are doing nothing wrong, they will not find any fault in you either. I will also tell you that he found out somehow that Q has been attending our meetings, and they're going to come after him now. And I'm pretty sure that they're going to give him the ultimatum of, you're either going to serve as a priest like they did 2 or 3 years ago when this all came about, or you can be Jim's friend. And Q and I talked a little bit yesterday, and I said to him, two things will probably happen. One, they're not going to give you that option, and they're just going to say, we're going to take your office away from you, which still means then you can still be on the team, and you can attend the meetings, because they can't dictate that. Or two, you will tell him that you would rather just serve in your ministry, and you will not attend our meetings. Father said they have no right to dictate to him who can and can't be his friend. So he said, we can still have fellowship together. We can still go to Holland congregation if we want. We can still invite each other to each other's homes. He said Q just will not attend the meetings. And this meeting right now will be Q's last meeting. There's a lot more information, and I don't feel that I need to share that with you at this time. But all I know is Father said, because this has happened, I now am cutting my plan 2 years shorter, and I'm moving things forward. He said, I'm also going to remind you, son, that I told you once that the Apostle Orlovsky is going to become your biggest advocate and one of your best friends. And I just kind of smiled at him and said, okay. I had a conversation with the Apostle Orlovsky last Sunday, and he seemed kind of genuine, but he's always awkward around me. The ironic thing about all of this is for the past 2 weeks, I have been on edge, and Starlight would look at me a couple times and say, what's going on with you? What's the matter? And to be honest with you, when something isn't right for me, I'll actually pick my nails, which I haven't done since I was a kid. And she'll look at me and go, what's the problem? And I said to her, I have no idea. And she kind of looked funny at me and she's like, are you sure? And I went, yeah, I can't tell you. I don't know what it is. But for over 2 weeks now, apparently, this witch hunt has been going on. It includes the district elder of this area and Peter Cook. I was also informed, which I didn't know, and Trisus wouldn't know this, that when we were in Seattle, Washington, I had given his mother-in-law an energy healing. She was diagnosed with a fatal cancer, and my goal was to just alleviate some of her pain. Well, shortly after the healing, she passed away. The family wrote a letter to the chief apostle Lieber at the time, accusing me of killing her. And then when Stacy left the team and informed the apostle of all the things that we're doing, a letter was written to the apostle Schneider. So they are aware of who I am. And my wife said, look, you're famous. The leaders of our church know you. And I laughed and went, yeah, wonderful. So I guess I'm not even angry this time, which Father actually pointed out to me. He said, have I not prepared you and warned you over all these years that you'd be ready for this? And I have been trying to do the same for all of you, that because of your affiliation with me, people are going to persecute and ridicule you. We have a number of people in the congregation that we go to that are two-faced, and I know that they are. And we don't go out of our way to say hi to them. We don't shun them, but when we shake their hand, we know they're not being genuine. And then Father took it upon himself today to have a number of people actually go out of their way to come and say hi to us that have never said hi to us before. And I just kind of smiled at him. Ultimately, Father said that those that are part of this will answer to him for it, and that we are all to just stay the course. We have done nothing wrong. And if the day were to actually come where the Apostle Orlovsky would actually have a conversation with me, I would say to him, could you please tell me what it is that I'm doing wrong that goes against our doctrine and the foundation of our church? And he's not going to be able to tell me I'm doing anything wrong except the whole idea of me being the second son of God, and he can't find it anywhere in Scripture, and the chief apostles never heard of me. That was the last thing he said to me when we had a conversation years ago. I would just like everyone to be aware of this. Please pray. They are still the anointed of our Father. Jesus put them in place for a reason. And I just believe that they are thinking that they're protecting the bride of Christ when that's not even their job. Their job is supposed to be to raise her and to teach her. Our job is to protect the bride of Christ. And even Father told us that we will protect the bride, foreign and domestic. And here we are. Does anybody have any questions?
I couldn't tell you.
What's that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Cindy just said, why didn't I tell her?
Because I told him not to.
Right. And it would have wigged her out.
Yes.
And I just would like to share this. I'm in the good job, and we're driving. Sorry that I was late, but am I heard clearly?
Yes, mostly. You're kind of breaking up.
Okay, I will. What I found this time, of course, when I was studying, but I really want to go there.
Nah.
I
didn't. You're breaking up. We can't really hear what you're saying.
I wish there was a way.
Do you have us on speaker?
Yes, but
take it off a speaker while you talk to us.
Bluetooth off. If it's connected to your car, and just put your phone up to your ear.
Yeah.
Okay, how's that?
Much better.
Ah, I did it. I found the speaker. Okay, so when Trilene told me, it was upsetting, you know, at first thought, for sure. And then I prayed about it, and I gave it to Father. And in fact, soon after I spoke with him, I went to see Father. And it was amazing, actually, because standing in the throne room with him, and he said, many have been persecuted in my name. He's talking about himself and the Lord Jesus. And then they all showed up. I mean, it was just like, it was, everyone, Moses and everybody. And I just stood there and I was humbled. And I said, okay, whatever you want me to do, I'll do, period. And then I prayed again on the way to Portage, where I went to help serve Holy Communion. And I was at peace. And then I was listening to music, and then I realized that I wasn't even thinking about that. And then I realized earlier in that yesterday that I wasn't thinking about it. Because when we truly give it to Father and let him have it, we can forget about it. And it's an important lesson for us, because we have learned over time that all of the things that we've worried about in the past, we never had to worry about them. We didn't have to concern ourselves with them. And then afterwards, we thought, well, I didn't have to do that. Well, this was a situation where I gave it to him and I didn't worry about it. And it's so much easier to do it that way. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if the district elder is going to talk to me or what's going to happen. But HS has my back, and I'll say the right things. I actually personally would rather hear it from the apostle. I know that the district elder goes in his stead, but the apostle is the one who ordains the ministry. I would like to talk with the apostle. And so if that's what Father wants, he'll engineer it and I'll know what to say. But I just wanted to share that it's from a personal standpoint, because I love serving God's children so much. And fortunately for us, we are closer to our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And when I serve, HS is unencumbered and he just goes. And I look at that and I think, if I'm not in that ministry, that makes me sad. And that's my personal take on it. So whatever Father knows is going to happen, he says, it's in his plan. Whatever we have to do is what we'll do. So I thank you in advance for your prayers.
You're welcome.
Will you still be able to listen to the recordings, even though you can't attend meetings?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And the thing is, and what you're hearing is Triland telling us what Father said will happen. And so far, nothing has happened. And let's hope hearts are moved. That's all I have to say.
Right.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
What was that?
Anybody else have any question, comment?
I find it interesting. I do have a comment, just briefly. I find it interesting living with you through that nonsense in Seattle. And you were frustrated because there really wasn't anything you were doing other than making them feel hinky, for lack of a better word. You made their skin crawl, but they really couldn't accuse you of anything. And the whole family thinking you killed my mother-in-law at the time, that's all her. Yeah, anyway, I won't share the details. That's immaterial. But again, we know the perpetrators of the nonsense, and here we are almost 20 years later, and it rears its ugly head, and that's how evil works. It's going to try to worm its way in. You're so much closer now to Father and so much more of who you're supposed to be. I understand now, and again, for what it's worth, that where Jesus was so calm, I now understand it because I observe you doing this. And again, I don't see you day to day, but I lived with you during those times, and you were so upset. You were taking it personally, and now it's great that you can just, what's that saying, water off a duck's back?
Yeah.
It gives me confidence, and I hope it gives everybody else confidence on the team. Again, we're doing Father's work. I know wholeheartedly. I feel it in my bones. And there isn't a doubt. Believe me, there have been years of doubt. What are we doing? When's it going to happen? And I sit here with a calm resolve. I have heard people say that. I now know what that means, a calm resolve. So I just wanted to make that comment. So,
thank you. On the lighter side, I shared all this with my wife yesterday. And she, one of Q's biggest concern was if they take his ministry away, who's going to care for Holland the way that the congregation's being cared for? And I basically said to him, well, then that becomes a test from Father for them. He will take care of them. And then my wife said, what I think would be interesting is when they all approach Dan and say to him, well, why did they take your office away? And he says to them, because Jim Rybeck is my friend. They're going to look stupid at him and say, well, what is it that he's doing? Because for over 2 years, we attended the services. We participated in cleaning the church. We participated in the mythic experiences. And we didn't talk crazy or do any kind of weird thing. We literally were who we are. And I kind of smiled at her and I said, yeah, wouldn't that be interesting? But Father knows what's best. And we're going to just do what we do best, and that is to remain silent, just like Jesus did. Because when we approach them or we try to make a point, then now we look guilty of something because now we're defending things. And Father has said to me numerous times, do you know how much you drive them crazy when you do not say anything? They're waiting for you to be nuts, and you will remain silent like Jesus did. Because a person who remains silent can be accused of anything, but they are not being held against it because they haven't said anything. But the moment a person starts to defend themselves, there's got to be something wrong. So we will defend nothing because there's nothing to defend. Okay.
You should bring them over to a dirt lot and get a stick and draw in the sand.
That's good.
Yeah. That would totally wig them out. They'd be like,
yeah.
What is he doing?
Well, I want to, like, well, I even looked at Father yesterday and I said, don't I have the right to to face my accusers? And he leaned across the table and said, no. Well, okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right, then. And that's when he said, you will remain silent. I will take care of this. Okay. All right. Making my job easier, apparently.
Well.
Yeah. It's okay. Honestly. And even when I was speaking with my wife yesterday, I said, I'm not even angry about this. Occasionally, she would bring it up, and she would look at me and go, well, I'm going to be angry about it. Well, yeah, go ahead. She goes, is it wrong for me to defend you? I said, no, I expect you to. It's what I pay you for. It's why I keep you around. You're supposed to protect me. You're my wife. That's how it works. But anyway, so thank you. Please pray for us. Please pray for Q. And we're just going to keep doing Father's work, because ultimately I said to Father, is it wrong for me to say to the apostle, can I use the words that the apostles of the first church said to the scribes and Pharisees? Shouldn't we ought to do what God tells us than what man does?
Oh.
Yeah. But anywho. Anywho. Okay. So I asked all of you to spend time the 2 weeks prior to service for the departed and go into a new realm. And I would like everyone to share that information. And Nucleos, I'm going to throw you under the bus first. And then I'm going to ask Atmos and then Tranquility. And then I will give who's coming up next. So if Nuke, you go first, please.
Well, alrighty then. So for a while, I'll start off this way. I actually went to two realms the couple weeks prior to the service for the departed. The first one was a realm that I've been to before and have been spending quite a bit of time in. And this is I've been calling it the Viking realm, but it's, I should say, the Norse realm. It is a realm that they created for themselves, and it essentially is Valhalla. And it's this giant, basically feast hall with a very large table. There's endless mead, food, battling for fun, what have you. And they expected it to be this amazing, glorious thing, but it's empty because there was no part of Father within the realm. And all of these souls were extremely confused. They had no idea why they weren't enjoying what they truly believed to be the most glorious place in existence. So I've been spending time with them, essentially serving, spreading Father's love. And a good number of them have come around, so to speak. They're more interested in what Father has to offer. And they are starting, most of them are starting to accept the fact that our Heavenly Father is the one true God. And that's amazing. The other one, it was a couple weeks ago, Lauren.
No, 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago, Lauren was shown a realm in a dream, or a vision, rather. And it was the realm of unknown miscarriages. I know most of you know Tranquility, Trisus, and Aquos. I'm sorry we didn't share this with you guys. Lauren and I were pregnant with twins. And on October 25th, we had a miscarriage. And we know that because of what we know and because I've seen our children. Their souls came to us, but the doctors don't believe that it was a true pregnancy because she would have only been 5 weeks along, and they refused to give her a blood test when we asked for it, when we knew that she was pregnant. And that's, I won't go into too much more detail on that, but this, the realm of unknown miscarriages is almost like an endless bridge. You can't see the beginning, you can't see the end. And when I saw it, it was completely packed with souls. And I mean, the realm is just filled with confusion. I mean, these souls don't know or didn't know what happened. Nobody, like their parents didn't know that they existed. They are unnamed.
Were unnamed, sorry.
But after speaking with Tryland, he brought to light that this realm is emptied every service for the departed. And Father loves them, gives them all names, and brings them into his kingdom. And that's so beautiful, but it's crazy how quickly this realm fills up, because so many women are pregnant when they don't know it. Doctors tell them that they're not and make them feel like they're crazy, and then they have a miscarriage. The doctor labels it as an abnormal
menstrual cycle.
Yeah, so keep them in your prayers. That's all I'll say.
Thank you. Any questions?
Tell them the names.
Yeah, I was actually just going to say that if there weren't any questions. So they're a boy and a girl. We named them James and Lila.
James and Lila.
What's the girl's name?
Lila.
Lila, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely.
Atmos?
The week of Halloween, I was blessed to go on a work trip out to Boston and I had to stay in Salem, Massachusetts for 2 nights. So you can just imagine the realm I got to go to. It was the realm of the accused. And I actually meditated the day before I left, or the day that I left the hotel, just before I left the hotel. And was taken to this realm and was able to meet two young girls who were accused of witchcraft there in Salem. And the realm was interesting. It was not what I expected at all. There's a lot of harsh bitterness, of course, but at the same time, there was a lot of light and want to learn. So they knew about Father, they knew about Jesus. Obviously some of them were Christians, before they were, accused and murdered. And so these two girls were telling me that there's been many prayers for them. People have prayed for them for quite a long time, and that the realm isn't as bad as it could have been had that not been taking place, of course. So that was really interesting to see a realm that's actually been, cared for in a way. So it was good to go there. And of course I asked, Jesus to cast down the golden rope to those who were in the darkest part of the realm so that they too could, start to at least see the light and understand it and feel it and maybe try to get over what they need to get over. That was just, it was just interesting. There's a second realm that I have not gone to yet. I don't know if I've been putting it off or I just haven't had the time. Most likely it's just me putting it off. Not that I'm afraid to go. It's just that the realm is called the realm of the judges. So those who have been the judges where people have died, that's the next realm I have to go to. So, like I said, I just haven't gotten to it yet. And one thing I will say too, is I expected to get to Salem, Massachusetts and be ready for a battle. And then I got an email from Tryland, as we all did, saying he bound evil. And so I'm going through Salem, Massachusetts, and I'm like, why am I not feeling anything? Why am I not seeing anything? And then I got that email and I was like, oh yeah, sure. So anyways, that's pretty much it.
Thank you. I'm going to have Tranquility go next. And then after her, I would ask Starlight and then Aquos and then Quasar. Tranquility.
Okay. So I'm going to go back a little bit. Oh, first of all, Nucleos and Lauren, I'm sorry for your loss. I myself had an ectopic pregnancy. Probably would have been about 35 years ago. And so I've had a special connection, or I'm always looking out for the children in the realms of the departed, especially those that were unloved, and those that never even got to understand who Father was, never were able to go to church or anything like that. So for years, I've already been praying for them. And then, so I would go, I didn't see anything, but I would just go tell them that I love them and that I'm praying for them and that they would find their way, that Father really does love them, and they'd find their way to the altar of grace. And then a few months ago, I had a vision. It was really kind of cockeyed, but it stuck with me. I was in a town where I had never been before, and there was a police officer, and he has those kind of hats that your highway patrolmen wear. I guess it would be similar to a Mountie's hat. And he was fighting off a criminal. And as he was fighting, his hat blew off. And for some reason, I was motivated to go and get his hat and return it to him. And as I brought it to him in the midst of this fight, which is so cockeyed, but anyways, I did bring him his hat. And he said to me, thank you for bringing me my hat. And I just want you to know that all eternity knows about you. And I was really humbled when I heard that. And so from that day on, I also focused on first responders because I figured they're the ones that see a lot of trauma. They'll see many souls that have died or are in a horrible state and never know what happens to them. And I know there's a very high suicide rate among first responders. So I was also pleading on their behalf that they would also find grace. But it was not until the very morning of the service for departed, and this has never happened to me before because usually I don't see things when I'm awake. But I saw a multitude of people, souls, and my back was, it was as if I was looking on at myself, addressing these souls, and I was motivated to tell them that no matter what happened in the service, that they must not allow themselves to be deceived, that Satan would try to convince them that they're not loved. And I said, if the minister forgets to invite them, that they should go to whichever altar they feel welcome, that they could go anywhere that they wanted to go. Because I know in previous services for the departed, sometimes the minister will only invite those from the realms that are that have been with us, that are amongst us, our loved ones. And I thought, oh, it's kind of interesting that I had this vision. And then we went to the service that morning. And one of the first things that the minister said was, I just want you all to know that service for the departed is not only for our loved ones. It's more like an invitation service for those who have never been to an apostolic church, those who have no one to pray for them. And for me, that was such a wonderful confirmation. I felt so happy. And like I said, I usually don't see things. So for me to see that sea of souls was just a wonderful experience for me too. So those are my two experiences that I had.
Thank you. Starlight.
I had two, well, as I was driving, I remembered a third, but I had a couple of experiences. The first realm I went into was, it was the underworld. And before I went into that realm, I was, just the name of it just sounded very dark. But when I went in, I was pleasantly surprised and Jesus went with, and I was surprised by the fact that what the underworld is, this particular realm is the underworld of Christianity. And those that, that were part of, they had like the underground churches and things. And so the realm itself, I thought was going to be, you know, rather dark. But what I found interesting was, is that there was a lot of joy. And it was a very nice and pleasant realm to be in because of how strong their faith is, was and is and continues to be, with Father. And, you know, they knew obviously who Jesus is and the Holy Spirit and Father. And Father actually showed up. I was sort of taken back by that because I've never, you know, heard of him coming to join in a realm, but he wanted to be with them because of how strong their faith is, even while they were, even though they had died for him and serving him, that he wanted to be with them. So I can't remember. I don't have my notes in front of me, but I know the other part of it was that. The information I was given was that they already knew. Okay, so in that particular realm, there were new apostolics that have actually been educating them and teaching them. So when this realm was opened, and once they go through, they've been baptized and things, but once they go through the whole process with the sealing and all that, that they would actually be working in the realms because they've already they've already been educated and of the, you know, and knowing. So they've actually already been kind of working in their, in that realm, but then they're also being educated by our other brothers and sisters that were in that particular realm as well. Because, with our churches, I know that for sure that there were churches, like the underground churches in China and then other countries. So our brothers and sisters died in faith, you know, New Apostolics have died in faith. And so they were in that realm already educating them. So the second realm I went into, it was more of like a traumatic, the easiest way to put it is like a, like the PTSD kind of trauma, realm. I have a, you know, a connection with that. And so I went into that realm. I think it was right before, was it right before service departed? It was a Saturday before service were departed. I was actually getting an MRI done and I was having a moment. So I decided, well, let's take your mind off of things and let's go into another realm. So that's where I ended up. And then the third, which it wasn't a realm, but it was an experience that when I was driving back a few moments ago, I, when Tranquility was talking, it just reminded me, I had a dream right before, service for departed. It was like a week or two prior. And I was trying to piece it all together. And it was a soul that came to me. And it was what I can gather was it was during a time of war. And it was, there was a doctor in this, in the person, a soul that came to me was like the assistant of the doctor. And they were actually, doing like, different experimental testing on the prisoners and things of the countries that they had, captured. And that particular soul wanted to stand up and say, this isn't right, but couldn't because he felt like he couldn't because of the situation that he was in. So I got to, he showed me the souls that had died and then the different testing methods and the particular, this unit thing that they were kind of like a capsule gas chamber thing that a person would go in. It was not the greatest at all. And then the doctor, that was performing these tests and stuff. So I continue to pray for them as well. But, so that's it.
Thank you. Aquos.
Yeah, I went with the realm of miscarriages as well. My unborn nephew took me there. I brought a bunch of them out. I gave them all a big hug, stayed there for a bit, and then research for the departed, my nephew took me again, and then I brought them all to the altar. So that was my experience.
Thank you. Quasar.
Taking off speaker. So I went into two realms, and I did it the week prior to the service of the departed. And the first time I got, I meditated, went and saw Father and said, okay, I'm going to go to a realm and you let me know which one. And at that time, I didn't think I had a whole lot of time to do it. So I didn't. And then I went to do the job that I was working on. And the type of work that I do, many times when there are difficulties with mold remediation or mold, then the remediation that has to be done is fixing someone else's problem. Something that someone did that was wrong, that caused the problem. And it's, even though I don't do this, it's, I'm sure it's easier to build something from, you know, scratch and with new materials and everything than it is to redo things that have already been done, because you have to undo a lot and it's very difficult. And at one point I was working and I was actually going, stupid people, why do they do it this way? It's, you know, and I'm mad. because it's hard. I'm hitting my elbows and my wrists, and I'm just, it hurts. And then I just stop, call myself. And every time I do that, I go, I know, Father, I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's just, this is frustrating. And then I say, okay, good. Sorry. Thank you. And I start doing it again and go, so you can imagine. So I was getting all dirty. So I decided just to start all over. And I put on a hazmat suit. And as I was putting everything on, I said, really? Right now? So as I was putting on my hazmat suit, I was putting on my armor. And I was all ready to go. And I looked at Gabriel and I knew, okay, you know where we're going to go, right? Let's go. You take me. And then James came along as well. And it's so beautiful that he joins me. You know, James, the apostle of hope. And so we started on this journey to go into a realm, and we traveled for a long time. And it's hard to know how long it is. It just seemed like it just kept going and going and going. And we were going down and up and around. And then we finally got to a point where we started going down further and further. And we got into this realm, and it was unlike what I've seen in the past in some conditions where, you know, you go into, and it's just an opening in a big wall, and that's a realm, and you go into this realm. I was just there. We were walking, all of a sudden I'm there, and we step into the realm, and everyone is basically hunched over, and they're just looking at us. And the overwhelming feeling that I got was that they were embarrassed and remorseful. And when I got there, the only thing that came to me was the realm of me. And I looked at Gabriel and I, what does it mean? And then all about me came. And then the full definition came. They are souls who only cared about themselves and didn't care about any consequences of things that they did that affected other people. Because it didn't happen to them, they didn't care. It was like what they did was more important, and because even if they did something that affected someone else and had a consequence with them, it didn't matter because, you know, they aren't going to see it. They aren't going to know. They don't. And so there are so many people who just do a job and have no regard to the consequences of the people who have to deal with it. And that's in so many different things. People who sell things to people for astronomical prices that had nothing, that aren't even worth that much. And they do it just because they do it. And it doesn't matter because it's not about me. Or it doesn't affect me. And other things, you know, doing shoddy work and all of that stuff. And so I have a better understanding now. And so when I'm more careful, when I don't let myself get irritated, at least I'm trying, when I'm dealing with those kinds of things. But I've been remembering those souls. And the thing that's interesting is that they don't realize the consequences that they're causing because they don't even think about consequences in their life. They don't even have a faith, really, it's not that they don't have a faith. They don't have an understanding that we're all the only beings that are going to last forever. Souls with our Heavenly Father and the angels and how that all that works. They don't think about the long-term consequences. So it was a nice realm to go into. The next realm that I went into was later that week. In fact, it was during a meditation class with Triland. It was the second time we went through everything, and I'd already was there, so I thought, well, this is a good time to do something. So the thought came to me to go into the realm where my brother Bob is, Faith Starter, working with Chief Katakitchi. And I thought of that, and then he was there, and Chief Kat was there, and I said, so what do you think? He said, let's go. And so this was, it seemed like a long journey. It's like we just started walking on a, in a countryside. And we just kept walking and walking and walking. And we just saw normal earth, you know, mountains and trees and desert and streams. And we were just walking. And then after we went for a while, we began to see the Native Americans and all the Indians that were there. And then we got to them, and then we just kind of walked through the crowd. And then they were just looking at us and touching us. And it was really pleasant and peaceful, and it was bright. And so it was just really nice. We just kept walking, and I wasn't quite sure why we weren't talking with them. But we just kept walking. And as we walked, it got dimmer and dimmer, but very slowly. We just walked for a long ways, and it took a long time for it to dim. And eventually got to the point where it was like dusk. And then I said to Bob, "What about the ancients?" And he said, "Let's go there." And so then we continued to go, and then we got to the point where it was a little bit darker, and then we started going down. And then we came to an opening in the ground, which was almost like a pit. And then we started to go down, but it was graded. So we were able to just continue to walk down at about, I mean, it was a steep angle. And when we got there, I said, "How far does it go?" And he said, "A long ways, but this is as far as we're going." And so we stopped. And then it was really beautiful. We're standing there, and you know, the brightness is coming from all of us. And Bob and just introduced me. And I started thinking, what difference does that make? And then Bob just looked at me, and it was like basically saying, "Go ahead, do what you do." And so we just talked to them about our Heavenly Father is great and gracious and loving and caring and kind, and wants to give you everything, wants to give all souls his love, and wants them to be with him. The Lord Jesus sacrificed for us, and for us, that means you too. Accept what you hear and come to the service. And that was it. And then we slowly went back, and we walked all the way back through all of those Indians until we got out of them. And it was amazing because we're walking through and they're just touching us as we go. It was beautiful. And that was a totally different experience than I've ever had going into the realms. It was nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I will finish this up. I was meditating, and Jesus came and got me, and he said, "Come on, brother, I'll take you where we're going to go." I said, "Where are we going?" He goes, "I will tell you when we get there." So we walked downhill for a very long time, and then we came to a realm. And before we went in, I said, "Where are we?" And he said, "King David will meet us, and we are going to the realm of the souls for Satan." I said, "Okay." So we walked in, and as I walked in, I noticed that every single soul was in their own cage. They weren't in a realm with prison bars, but they were literally in a little box like an animal. And then Father showed up, and I kind of looked at him funny, and he pointed for me to go up a hill, and Jesus walked me towards the bottom of the hill, and I walked up the hill, and I stood there. And I said to them, "I don't know what Satan promised you, but I can tell you that there's absolutely nothing he can offer you. And all his goal is to destroy all of you and keep you from being with Father. I am personally inviting all of you to come to the service on Sunday. And I hope that you can find it in your heart to make an effort to listen to the service, to listen to what Father has to offer you, that you'll find your grace." And then I released Pog into the air, and it lit up. And I will tell you that for miles and miles and miles and miles, all I saw were souls in cages everywhere. And I was actually crying while I was meditating, and I didn't even realize that I was crying because of how much sadness was in this realm, how much hopelessness was in this realm. And as we walked down the hill, Father said, that is what they needed to hear. And Jesus said, they just needed to see Triland and feel your light. The following day was service for the departed, and not one of them came to the service. And I looked at Father, and he said, but they certainly are listening to the service. We had the Apostle Orlovsky, and I can tell you that an Apostle of Jesus Christ actually showed up for that service, and the Holy Spirit was on fire through him, and so many wonderful things were said, and everybody was fed well. I will continue to pray for them. I would encourage everybody to pray for all the realms that we discussed this evening. I have a young son. He's 14 years old in eternity. He actually works in the realm that James and Layla are in because he was miscarried and we didn't even know. I've been praying for those in the Salem realm ever since I was accused back in Seattle, Washington. They have a very special place in my heart. You were taken to a realm because of your connection with that realm, whether you were aware of it or not. And now that we are and have been in that realm, they have now attached themselves to us. And they will continue to ask for us to support them and pray for them. Starlight reminded me this morning and asked me to share this with all of you. Many meetings around Service for the Departed, I'll remind you or I'll send you an email and say, there are times where eternity will place something on you and they expect that you bring it to Father. That doesn't just happen between the two services, the preparatory and the service for the departed. It happens all year round, and you may not even be aware of it, so I'm bringing it to your attention. And because you have a connection with these realms now, they are going to place things on us even more. And we're going to bring all this to Father. So when you meditate, or even your prayer, you can even say to Father, whatever eternity's placed on me, I now hand to you, please take it from me. Because we in flesh cannot bear that energy very long. If we do, what happens is we will become depressed, we will become sad, we will start to grow tired and weary, we will feel as though we have no energy. That is not for us to carry. It is for us to just bring it to Father and let him take care of it. Does anybody have any questions?
I think that's beautiful. I just think it is. I know that it can become a burden for us. But just the fact that we know that that is the case, that they are depending on us, and that we have gone to those realms because we have a connection, I think that's absolutely beautiful. And the one thing that I forgot to mention, and after I introduced myself, the first thing that I said to them is, please accept my apology. I have been yelling at you today. And I think they knew it. And so they maybe that's why they were embarrassed, because they knew why. But then again, I didn't realize it till just now that I needed to apologize to them. I needed to show them that how to do it, because they probably don't know of any recourse. Oh, and the other part that I didn't mention about that is that they have to relive the consequences of all of the people that they wronged, and they've got constant reminders of the things that they caused to people. And so, but thank you for letting me share that again as well.
You're welcome. If you noticed at the beginning of my prayer, we acknowledged the fact that eternity was joining this meeting with us. All the souls from all the realms that you spent time in are represented here, and there are a few souls actually here from the realm I went into that I just looked around and saw there.
Oh, nice.
This is the impact that we have on eternity, simply being who you are. You stand in my power and authority. I stand in Father's power and authority. And we do absolutely nothing for ourselves. We are not in this position for any reason but to serve Father and to help mankind. And for this, my friends, here is some proof of our labor. We are to be selfless like Jesus was. We are to be loving and kind and non-judgmental. We are to be open to everybody. Even some of those from the Salem realm came up and gave me a hug. So thank you, I said to them, for coming and spending this time with us. Does anybody have anything else? Thank you, my dear friends, for everything you do, for your serving with me, for your sacrifices, for your love, and for spending this time with us. I also want to let you know that I'm going to retire my supplanter SOG2 at Yahoo Mail account. I have a new one. It's trilandsog2@gmail.com. I will, in the coming month, probably next month, send you the watchword and the team schedule from that email. And if you could please use that email to correspond with me. And then I will also send Google Calendar invites for the team meeting with the information in it for every meeting in the coming year. Thank you again for everything. Our next team meeting will actually be Sunday, January 19th. I am thankful that I have all of you. I am thankful that Father has given you the gifts that you have. And what's interesting is that every single guardian on my team does not have the exact same gift. We all have different things. We all have different ways of looking at life, and that's why Father put us all together, so that we can relate to anybody in eternity and anybody on the face of the planet. Never forget who you are, and thank you for participating in everything. I love you guys very much, and I will do the closing prayer. So, Father of love, we come before you once again, and we bring our teammates, and we bring all of eternity. As we bow our heads, Father, we bow our hearts in humble reverence and praise and love and adoration to you. Everything is because of you. We do not bring our praise because we expect anything from you. This praise and this love is because of everything you've actually done for us and have allowed us in our lives to share and experience. We are in the season coming up of Thanksgiving, and the word, Father, and the actions that we have will never be able to show you how much we appreciate and love you and are thankful for everything that you've given us. We look at the hearts of eternity, and they have even placed things on us while we've been sitting in this meeting. So now, Father, we take from everybody's hearts that which eternity has trusted us with, and we now place it in your hand, that you will give ear to every single concern, that you know every single soul by name, and Jesus, that you will spend time with them too, and teach them how it is to be a servant, because that is our greatest goal, to be a part of the bride. We want to come home, and we want to do what is best in your eyes, Father. We pray for the coming weeks. We pray for the concerns that rest on our hearts here, that you will give ear and help. We pray for all of our families and friends, for our congregations and members, for the future, for the leaders of our church, for the leaders of all of our countries, that, Father, we are able to maintain some kind of peace, that we can move forward in our faith. And when the time is appointed, then we as the guardians will step forward, and we will be even more active than we currently are now. If we have forgotten something, then, Father, we know you will add to the prayer what is missed. Know how much we love you and appreciate you. And as always, Father, we bow to your will, and in your name we pray. Thank you. We love you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Love all you guys.
Love you.
Have a love great
you
week.
Guys.
You too. Have a great holiday.
You too.